Hey everybody, Michael Martin. Thanks for being here. Happy Friday. So I got a few emails about some of the recent podcasts asking, you know, what's more important, you know, entries and exits or position sizes, how to take profits, you know, and it's really, that's hard to say. I think there's an order that naturally unfolds for people who manage risk. As you're going through the experiential part of doing it. And I think the first is trade selection. Obviously, you need to figure out where you're going to focus your financial leverage, whether you're paying for things in cash in the stock market, or whether you're using margin type two, or whether you're in the commodity space where everything happens in a margin account, implied leverage. You know, that's really... tastes and preferences, right? Which tend to be exogenous. And so that's hard. So you'll be attracted to whatever you're attracted to. If you like vanilla ice cream, great. If you like chocolate, knock yourself out. Then you have to figure out, normally, the next thing that pops up is either fear or greed. And that is, well, I got to get into Bitcoin here because I'm missing out. So you have greed, you have the fear of missing out. And or other names, right? GameStop had a big move. There's plenty of stuff out there, right, that you would understand. And nonetheless, you know, you're dealing with your need to put the money to, what's the purpose of the money going to risk, right? What is the trading, what are you doing it for? How does it serve you? Do you like, are you one of these people who like doing puzzles and trading is really just a big puzzle that involves a lot of personal psychology and emotional intelligence? That's valid. That's one. Some people like that as a, they call it a challenge. But what we're really saying is that I like how I feel when I have to figure stuff out that I don't know the result of or how to get there. I know point A and point B, but beyond that, I got to trust my instincts and I like that. I like how that feels. So I think that would be a good environment for me. The trading environment would be good for me. And then you learn to lose, right? Just like in martial arts, you have to learn how to hit the ground safely and roll and all that kind of stuff. You need to do the same thing in your trading. How do you lose well? You come to understand that intelligence and trading success are not necessarily related. You do need to have tactical edges or else you shouldn't trade. And there is a little intellectual part to that, but it's also tactical, which means it's a lot of psychology. Can you pull the trigger? Or do you have self-doubt? You know, do you overthink things at exactly the wrong moment? I think overthinking in general is inappropriate at any moment. You have to understand randomness. You're going to have good luck and bad luck, good timing, bad timing. And that has nothing to speak of. That's nothing to speak of your intelligence or your tactics. You can try to put yourself in the right place at the right time, but it's very tricky to do. So then you learn, like, wow, I took a bigger loss than I wanted to take on that trade. So the next thing you learn is, like, I do really have to use stops. And if I have as many names on in my portfolio and I want to let the market do the heavy lifting, right? That's the difference between day trading and even swing or trading or position trading is that you really, who's willing to do the work? If you're a day trader, you're doing the work. If you are holding longer periods of time, you're really letting the market do the heavy lifting to give you the results, the returns, by sitting on your hands and staying out of the way. It's probably debatable. Obviously, supply and demand has to happen for day trading as well. But don't tell me how, like, what a stud you feel like because you took 3K out of, you know, Bitcoin and the thing's up 20K. Because you left the majority of money on the table. You know, same thing with the breakout in Tesla, for example, over 500 to 860 or wherever the hell it is. If you took 20 bucks out of the trade, great, good trade. But you left an awful lot on the table, right? So I don't know that's something that's going to get you laid tonight. So, you know, that. But, you know, to each their own. Maybe that's important to you. And, you know, what do I care? If it's important to you, then it's important to me. I would just say that if your goal, again, because how does your trading serve you? Do you want to go put it on StockTwits that you just took 5K out of Bitcoin? I don't know. That's not what I do. I don't broadcast stuff and I don't throw shade at people. It's just part of how I'm built. It's just a personal choice. And that's consistent. I've been that way for a long time. In the education, some of the education stuff, you can see, you know, real live trades that we'd done, and some of them that had been done from whatever, start of the career through 2011, that never made their way into the inner voice of trading. Why was that? Well, it's because too many people are gloating over how, you know, their trading prowess. And that's like, you know, you'll never be as cool as your car. You can go buy a 700 horsepower car, but, you know, you can't buy cool as far as I'm concerned. And likewise, I just figured the thing that most traders have in common is that they've all lost money. How you win is largely as unique to you as your fingerprint is. But one thing that we can all identify with is handling losses, right? So I tried to focus on that because it seemed like it would be a better way to help you develop your mindset. Don't worry about your winners. I don't necessarily believe the old Amos Hostetter thing of winners take care of themselves. You know, we're going to get to that next. And so I do think you can bond with people in talking about how do you handle trades when they don't work out. Some people say I have a mental stop. Some people say I use a hard stop in the market. Some people are moving too much size, so they cannot really show their hand. They have to use reloading scenarios where they sell piece and they come back and sell more after that one unit is, you know, liquidated because they're moving too much inventory and they can't put a sizable trade. You know, if you're a big family office and you're moving, you know, 200,000 to a million shares or something, that's not something that you could enter on your trading platform in one shot. You have to break it up. You might even be calling it in. So then the next thing you learn after you learn how to handle your losses and then not personalize it, right? Because it's just a number. The next thing you have to learn is how do you take profits? Some people like to have price targets. We just talked about that. If you took 5K out of Bitcoin, awesome. That's 5K, you know, per unit that you had. Love it. But then you have to say, okay, how do I know or where is there evidence that the market still might be moving upward? So how do I better handle that? How do I know when people are buying and the buyers are in control? How do I know to stay out of their way so that they can continue to buy to keep bidding up what I already have? When do I know that that stalls? And when do I know that the sellers have taken over and or they're about to take over, and I know for what I'm willing to do where my uncle point is, which isn't really uncle because it's like, okay, do you take 18,000 out of the trade or 20K? The argument there for your in your own brain is how much of the risk that you currently have, how much of the unrealized gains do you have in your portfolio right now on that per position basis? Are you willing to risk, in other words, give back, in order to say or see higher numbers? So if you're up 20K in a name, whatever that means to you, do you stop it out and take it out at 18? Or do you say, I'm stopping it at 15 because I think we can see 25, 30? There's a theory to that for sure, but I think a lot of it is experiential because it's a question of how you process your feelings on taking your winners. Lots of ways to do it. I don't know that one way is better than the other. Some people look at moving averages to see the direction of the market. And if the shorter term trends are slowing down and the market goes sideways in the channel, your moving averages, at least your faster ones will show a zero slope and your longer term ones will still probably show a decreasing upward slope, right? Your M is your Y equals MX plus B and your M is your slope. And I'm not inferring that you're using the moving average crosses to generate trade entry or exits. You can look at reversals, right? There's several ways to look at, you know, an intraday reversal on a big up day. I think GameStop had a big monster up day recently. And, you know, how much of that are you willing to risk in order to see higher prices, for example, right? So that seems to be the order, the natural order of things that people consider as they're developing their trading game and they're managing their risk. To me, you can do all of that almost in one fell swoop with some very basic, you know, trading tactics if you've set goals for yourself, right? Because you need to know the quality of the money. What does the money mean to you financially? What can you do with it? What is the opportunity cost to you if you put up you know, your trading account and you keep, you know, I don't care if you got 150K or if you got 150 million, there's opportunity cost for everybody. So the question is, what are you forsaking to do what you're doing now? What are also, what opportunities are you missing if you just coast, right? Because people who are goal setters tend to hit their goals and they tend to be very, very productive people. And it has nothing to do necessarily with trading gains. It might be more relegated to your trading process, but your overall life. What goals do you have for your kids and your unborn grandkids? Can you start a company around what you do so that you effectively get what you need out of it for free, right? That's how a lot of people start companies, is that they actually need the service themselves. So they create the service as a business and offer it to other people. So they kind of get their own needs met for free and then some. They find out that other people need it and then the business grows. Right? So a lot of it comes down, therefore, to your mindset, your psychology, and what it is that you're doing it for. In the past, I've mentioned things like, well, how does your trading serve you? What does it mean for you in your life? And it's not an intellectual answer. That's an emotional one. Right? So I find that the people who do not struggle with the screening, like how do you come up with your wish list? Those people who, you know, don't respect risk and they don't learn how to put in protective stops and they go through that natural of order things like when do they know to take profits, this and that, when do they know to trim? Those tasks, if you will, become a lot more clear to people when they have a clear vision of what they want their trading to do for them. And I'll give you a hint. It's not really about, the goal around trading isn't necessary to make more money. And again, it's not a task. It's not the result of the trading. It's the feeling. What feelings do you generate from your trading? And I'm not talking about pulling, you know, the one-armed bandit either, where I got to throw around size. We know what happens when people throw around size. They can make a lot of money in the short run, but sooner or later, they all blow up. It's just a matter of time. And so if you can think about what feelings you have about yourself, whether it's your confidence, your self-esteem, that stuff in and around your trading, based on how you're able to execute your plan day after day after day, even though you have good luck, bad luck, good timing, bad timing, winning streaks and losing streaks, that you can foresee in the future, if you have a model that has positive expected value, here's where you're going to go, here's likely the trajectory, here's in and around where you would be from a liquid net worth standpoint and a funds standpoint, and the quality of life that you can have with that imagined amount of money. Remember, thoughts, feelings, actions. If you can get super specific about what that life is going to look like for you, then if you can attach that to your behavior right here of letting your winners run and keeping your losses small, you'll be ahead of probably 90-something percent of the people out there doing it. Because yes, you have to make money. You do that by keeping your losses small. You let your winners run, and you do that period after period after period, and then you'll have something to talk about. And you'll be kind of closer to, like, people talk about self-actualization, right? That's really where we're going with this. Anyway, that's a long-winded answer to several questions that came in, but they were kind of all related. I had to go through this emotional hazing myself. It's in the Inner Voice of Trading. You can get the audiobook version for free at Martin Chronicle. If you want to, it's on me. Thanks for being here, and I'll see you Monday.